Blog Talk Radio.
The Egg.
On thee.
shining sea. America, America, woo, America, she shed her grace, she shed her grace, she shed her grace on me. Crown thy good with brotherhood. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omega 7 at it again, singing and uplifting her people and her nation. As you know, we did a special feature for those men in blue and all those men and women who serve throughout their lives. We wanted to offer that song for those soldiers. We still haven't forgotten about them and still in the spirit of resurrecting those souls. As we continue to broadcast about advocacy, mentorship, as well as servitude, and we want those ministers to light those phone lines up tonight. We haven't heard from you, Deacon, Apostle, and Reverends. We'd like to hear from you this evening. Our phone line number is 646-478-0270. Light up that line because you're going to want to call in tonight because our featured show is about a topic that is so near and dear to me. Knowledge is power. From the Chronicles of Garth, we were going to feature my president, Chuck Sanford. Chuck may not be able to make it this evening. We're waiting for him to call in. In the event that he doesn't, he will join us on Friday because we're going to carry this segment all the way over to Friday because we're covering what is pro se and how do African Americans learn about pro se and what are some of the things that our community are plagued with where we're waiting for someone, perhaps a Jesus out of the sky, to come down and deliver us. Well, I came to tell you that you are that Jesus that you're looking for. You're that Elijah that you have set a plate aside for. You are that Jesus. He's in you. He's in you. He's in you. And the topic this evening, we're going to feature our book that comes from Knowledge is Power from Project 2019. Only Black Americans can say Black America is the topic this evening. Now, when Chuck does show up, he'll have more information to give you, but I'm going to label the topic Only Black America Can Say Black America. You're going to want to get this book. Our featured book is Project 2019, Sociology, Social Economic Equality Through Formal Education. Now, I'm going to make a little twist here, and I'm going to say that slash we also want African Americans to consider training programs and not only just baccalaureate and master's and PhD degrees, slash trained African American in technology where they may get their training on the job. So we're not excluding that because we know knowledge is power and you don't always have to go to an institution to acquire that knowledge. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're enrolled in college institutions, and if you are a candidate for a PhD, you definitely want to come in. What is the meaning of education? And is it good for African American? And how do we benefit from the academia training from the institute? And how can it be a shortcoming for us in the today's society? What has education done for us and to us? And why are so many African Americans going straight from the institution called university or college to the penal institution? Are we preparing are gifted, are young, gifted and black, to go into the penal institution? To be young, gifted and black, what does it mean? Do we give our youth over to the penal institution straight out of college? Or do we train them a little differently? Do we have a transit program for them before they go to college because they need conditioning? And if they need conditioning, why aren't the churches providing that transition into conditioning before they pay over $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 for an academic degree to send them to a job that possibly only pays between $25,000 and $30,000? Is that economical strategy to pay for a degree that will only give you an income of less than the $50,000? Let's talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm calling JB so we can go down the road and get some more help in this room today, because we need to talk about the Project 2019. What is that all about? And how do you decipher if you go to college or go to trade school? Which is better for you? And are we being miseducated about this thing called college? And can we transition into an intern or work study that will give us the same unique training just without the credentials such as BS, MBA, PhD, our players' hated degree? Is it really a player's hated degree, or are we doing anything with it of worthwhile? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air. And before that, let me ask you a question. Can I borrow your airways for approximately 120 minutes? I will give them back to you unmolested, and I will give it back to you enriched. I promise you. Stay tuned. We're going to call JB to take us down the road. If you're ready to go with us, come on. I got my fare. Come on, JB. Take me down the road. I need some knowledge because it's power. I need some knowledge because it's power. Come on, JB. Take me down. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You have your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. I am your advocate and your advisor, and I am your empress, the one you need. Welcome once again. I say thank you for following me on Twitters. Thank you for following me on Blog Talk. I sincerely thank all my followers and listeners and do appreciate you. And because you're so faithful, I want to take a moment just to tell you how grateful I am that you support me. I want you to know that we're going to be focusing more on selling our space and airtime to a number of constituents, specifically in the area of self-help. I can't tell you all the particulars right now, but I can tell you one area that we're going to reserve is going to be for lawyers, pro bono lawyers, lawyers who are low cost that can help you out there in those predicaments where you can't seem to find the funds. That's right. You're going to be able to call here on this show and find out how to obtain an attorney to assist you. And if you don't have the money, we will not turn you away. We will have advocates and we will have legal assistants as well as paralegals like myself to help take your case and to help you and teach you how to do self-help. As you know, we are a self-help institution. So one segment of our show is going to be dedicated to family law and working with issues that the attorneys can help you with doing pro se or pro bono. Now, during that 120 minutes, we're also going to save time for the sisters in the house. We've been doing a lot with family, but we have another show called Always Sisters, Always Friends. We're going to feature that show, and we're going to do a number of things with women and focusing in on women's health, women's professions, and focusing in on them in general. Everything about a woman, from her hair to her nails to that extensions that she needs to put on, and to helping her understand how we can keep that dollar circulating in our community. We're also going to be focusing in on the area of health. As you know, all these things are near and dear to me, but we're going to segment them off into an hour-long segment, like initially when I gave you a plethora of many different topics. So here we will have the health. We will have a naturopathic person frequenting our show who is a naturopathic doctor and has extensive background in health. As we brought you health before, we know that that is necessary because we are a family and consumer science, meaning that we are a home ec program that covers a large variety of home issues, economics. We're going to even partner with an organization to get young people involved in understanding economics, saving their dollars, banking their dollars, being involved in economic status. That segment is going to be focused in on training our children to be a part and a partner of economic programs that are out there right now that they can utilize. And we're going to be using their materials to help parents as well. We're going to do more with the literacy of those parents. And right now, our whole focus is reading. So the whole bulk of our program will be focusing in on literacy, reading material that you can get credit for, parents, reading material that you can get credit for, teachers, so that you can advance yourself in knowledge. Because we know why we read is to better educate ourselves and to open doors for us. So as we break down and segment out each one of these programs, you might not hear only at the featured of each one of these programs, but I'm going to be soliciting for various different people across the diaspora to feature and host these shows. Now, will I be a part of this? Yes, I will. I am the mother entity, and you know the emperor has to be involved. But I won't take the full responsibility. I will be there as one of the co-hosts in these programs, but I will feature my own show as well. Now, as I told you about being a family life educator, every one of our guests will have a chance to be featured as a family life educator. This is a profession, and this profession allows you to work in the capacity of the school system into faith-based programs, as well as traveling abroad. So when you obtain this training, the people that work with me, they're going to be family life educators. So they can take this training and utilize it in a real job. Now, will they be licensed? No. However, if they had a baccalaureate degree, they could sit for the test and become a licensed family life educator. But in this room, they're going to be trained under me to be a family life educator. They don't have to have the endorsement. It's not required. However, when they go out in the workforce, they can introduce themselves as a family life educator with their business card. Now, I told you just a speckle about what's going to happen. You can look for that to happen next month when we start our new segment, and that is on education solutions. Now, I know that Project 2019 has been beating the pavement saying, we must do for self, we must have social economic, we must have formal education. I have come to tell you all formal education is not alike. And it's not necessary to be all baccalaureate up in your costume and your cap and gown. If you go to a trade school or a technical program, that is sufficient. But you don't want to just stop there. You want to have a five-year plan. So if you need to have family during those 2 years after you graduate, you could do that and come back to education while you still make that filthy lucre. We don't want to put it in people's head that they must have a degree of some sort. You must have a skill. You must have training. Now, I want you to understand we're not going to segregate ourselves anymore, because in the past, black people who have gotten education throw their nose up in the air and act snooty and make the ones who don't have credential or formal education feel inadequate, and thus for separating ourselves again like they wanted us to do in the first place with the Willie Lynch theory. You cannot do that, because it creates the problem of the Willie Lynch theory all over again. Now you say, Omi, what is the Willie Lynch theory? What is that theory? What is it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are to Google Dr. Ray Hagen. He has a full-blown story on the Willie Lynch theory. I don't have time to talk to you about it today, but I want you to know that we as African Americans have got to get that out of our system. And if we continue to segregate and create all these groups and slice ourselves and dice ourselves so that we're segregated, then we know that we are not a force to be reckoned with. There is strength in numbers. And as we have differences, we put our differences aside to come together in massive numbers. So therefore, we're not going to say it's the Greek against the GID, it's the degree against the technical certificate. No, we're not doing that. And so for those of you who are not of the traditional education system and you're intelligent and you're a self-made man or woman, I put my fists up in the air to you and say, right on, right on, right on, my black brothers and sisters, because knowledge is power. I don't care how you get it. You might have to go down to Miss Susie's basement and learn to read and learn what 2 + 2 is and find out how to do your arithmetic. But then you walk out and you're a self-made man, opposed to that brother who done spent $50,000 trying to get that first baccalaureate degree to come out and get a job that pays $25,000. Who's in the hole? You or him? Now, that's where the reasoning comes in at. And we've got to work with reasoning. We can't play these games. Well, John's got a baccalaureate degree, and Susie's working on her MBA. And mother over there just got her PhD, her player-headed degree. It's important that you understand that we are not about the business of creating confusion amongst our people. We are trying to show them that in the end time, it may be better to be a self-made man and be affluential and work for yourself and have an entrepreneur. Now, let me back up a minute here, because it seems that time is getting away from us, and time needs to slow down. We have 120 minutes in this room, and I know 90 seconds is not up yet, because we're going to talk, because we're paying for this. Now, Project 2019 has created a book, Only Black Americans Can Save Black America, and that book is entitled Social Economic Equality Through Formal Education. And this is Chuck E. Sanford who wrote this book. You ought to call me or email me to inquire about how you can get a copy. When Chuck wrote this book, it says, the basis for Project 2019 is irrefutable truth that black Americans will never attain socioeconomic equality with white Americans until black Americans attain educational equivalency with white Americans. Now, equivalency, that is the word to zone into. Equivalency, according to Garth, does not mean that we have to play tit for tat. As you know, some of us have had to go to distance learning online. Some of us have went part-time at a junior college, and others of us have enrolled in school and college campuses and lived on college. And some of us have even been in the marriage student court functioning as a student. It doesn't matter which way you choose. If you should choose to get your certificate, which will bring you up to the status of a professional, I didn't say clerical. Now, we're working strictly towards professionalism. In the workforce, you can gain internships in some facilities like the insurance company. They have their own institution internally. Those are the programs that I think you should be taking advantage of so you can advance to the highest level. Wherever you are and whichever corporation you at, if you're not exercising the right to utilize internal continuing education, you are wasting your time. You need to transition and leave. If they offer you free courses and courses with pay where you go to school, take advantage of that. Advance yourself to the highest level of the maximum income, because you cannot get rich off an 8-to-5 job, but you can create 5 or 6, 7 streams of income by finding other ways of working part-time and moonlight jobs. But that could burn you out as well. You need to save time so when you go home, you're not burned out. You can still transition hats and become a mother again to your children. Don't work 4 and 5 jobs talking about you finna get rich. Work that one job and maximize your position by advancing yourself on the job, taking continuing education, designing a 5-year plan for yourself and that corporation. If that corporation has no future for you, then transition, but don't quit until you find another job. Education is a great thing, but it's not the only thing. Don't sell your lot for a degree, and don't waste all you have on a degree. There are programs all over the internet, teachers, that you can take as an upgrading where you can put yourself in another category for salary with a master's plus 15 by going online, taking 15 continuing education courses to get a certificate, which will put you at the top of your game. So now you're not only making master's, but you're making master's plus. So as a master's plus, you can then go to master's plus 30. Then your income level goes up. You haven't changed job. You haven't added no night shift job on, no Saturday job. You're doing that one job, and you're just increasing your coursework. Some companies will pay you for additional hours. Some companies will advance you and put you on a 5-year plan. Don't get it twisted. Just because you're not in a baccalaureate program and John and Susie over there are leaving work early to go to that baccalaureate program, don't be offended. John and Susie may be burning a candle on both ends. Now, get into these fast-track programs after you have gathered so many continuing education hours and transferred from 5 or 6 degrees. Get in a fast-track program and transfer your courses over where you can finish in 18 months. I don't care that if it's a liberal arts degree or if it is a general study degree. You go back and take a certificate program and specialize in whatever your heart's desire. Just do the doggone thing, get the general education degree or get the human resource degree or a humanities degree. Some people saying, well, John went to school and got a general education degree. What's he going to do with that? Or he got an African-American studies degree. So what? If that's what he can excel in and he enjoys, he can always go and pick up a certificate program and specialize. Now, for you generalists out there anyway who are doing management organization and getting generalist study, you still are going to have to pick up a specialty. When you go out to apply for a job, they say, well, what can you do? Well, I'm a manager. A manager of what? Human resource? Risk management, benefits, what is your specialty? And at that point, they throw you into the job anyway, throw you in the back room, give you a bunch of books, and say you're now in the business management training program. But we still expect you to get out on that floor and sell that bathroom equipment. Now, here you are selling bathroom equipment with one hat on, going in the back room, putting your student hat on. Now you type it in the computer like a madman. Oh, you got somebody out here that need help. Put your other hat on, run back up there. Now you're selling paint. No, you're crazy. That's what you are. You done lost your ever-loving mind because you done went to school, got the degree. They still got you in the training program. So why not? If you don't think academically you can handle it, transition into that management program right out of school. Take advanced standing courses in high school so that you get credit for those hours of advanced standing in high school. So when you come to college, you don't have to deal with the basic courses. You can go right into the gifted and talented, and you can gain credit for coming there having advanced standing. Now, I want to tell you something. This book talks about African Americans meeting up and being equal to Caucasian so that we can match their numbers. Let me say this. I don't think we'll ever match their numbers. It wasn't intended to. Education in and of itself was created for the white male self-esteem curriculum in power who owned slaves. So it wasn't created for your black self. It was created for the white man, and they know this. It's nothing wrong with that, people. Quit wanting something that's not for you. We constantly say, well, we want equal status. We want to be like them. We want to have what they have. Look what integration has got you. You got everything that they have now and more. And you're still not any better. So let's talk about getting what is best for us to service our community. Why not make sure that somebody in your family goes to law school? If you got 13 kids, pick one or two of those intelligent young men or women who can decipher and use common sense and peg him to go back to school. Find your children that can help your community. Our education is not our own. Once we get education, we must come back home and offer that service to the community. Each one of us are responsible for teaching the other. So getting a degree is nothing to make us pompous and proud. People used to look at me and hate me for no reason. I would look at them and say, what's the problem? Oh, but you have a degree from Purdue University. And you have a master's degree from National Lewis University. I say, so what? I still came up on the rough side of Gary, Indiana, and I still came from the urban setting. What makes you think I'm not at risk like you? You have a chance to make more money. Contrary, my friend, if you don't take these degrees and use it in the proper way, you will be sitting in 8-to-5 clerical position if you don't watch it. What makes somebody advance in their profession? Not their degree, but basically how they articulate and express themselves and what they can offer the company. You don't have to even carry a degree. You could be a Bible thumper, church jumper, bitch warmer, elegant speaker who can walk in and pursue whatever it is you want. It has nothing to do with how you're orientated when you come up out of that institution. If you have no self-esteem and knowledge of self and you don't have get up and you don't feel good about yourself, I don't care how many degrees you got, you can't carry it over to make them believe that you're somebody. Say it with me. I am somebody. Somebody else say it with me. I am somebody. You got to have some get up. And you got to feel good about your black self. And you got to know that you're confident. And confident goes off very well. If you are a scholar and are a dean's scholar, and your GPA shines, woo, your GPA shines, baby. 4.89 looks real good to me on a 6-point scale. 3.89 looks real good on a 4-point scale. Shine your GPA up. Major in something that's not hectic, causing you to lose your ever-loving mind. Major in something that you're good at. How about home economics? I did. I enjoyed it. I was the best person there was in the field and stayed on the dean's list and the honor roll. And when I decided to become a teacher, I switched over, but I was still on the honor roll, and I still graduated distinguished because I was doing what I was best at. Couldn't nobody beat me at what I was best at. Enroll in something you're good at. Don't go scratching your head going in there tomorrow. I'm going to be an astronaut. I'm going to take them science courses, and I want to go to the space. I want to be in NASA. Come on now. You done lost your ever mind. You done failed, and you need to get up because you can't be no astronaut. Let's reason together here. The things that you are good in, if it be artistry, painting, gifted in design, go into a creative side, the right side of your brain, and do a good job. And when you come out, you can pursue whatever you want with that degree. These young people going to school trying to get an education degree, going there talking about, I'm going to be a teacher. Teaching what? What are your gifts? Do you like children? Do you like spending time with repetition? Do you like reasoning with people? Because you're going to have to reason with these students who don't think they can learn, and you're going to have to wrestle with them and make them learn. Do you have that gift? And if you don't, do you have the endurance to be in school for 6 years? And do you have the ability to have test-taking skills to take a test and know you're going to master it and master all 3 skill tests? And if you don't pass in all of those years you spent in school, now you figure, I'll take it after I get my master. So you go take that master course. Now you done got your master and still can't pass the teacher's exam and still walking around saying, I want to be a teacher. Now let's reason together. If you don't have the test-taking skill and you know it takes 6 years, you got to make some decisions. Because your eligibility for your Pell Grant may run out in 4 years. So there's no more money left, and you now have to apply for private loans, which they want back immediately, not 6 months after you graduate. Now, let me talk to you in your living room. Let me talk to you in your dens or even your kitchens. You might be in your bedroom. We got to stop breaking the bank, cleaning our 401k, exhausting our savings, and that $529 that you get for those kids in the bank. We got to stop wasting all that you have. Tomorrow, I want to give Junior something I never had, a college degree. I want Junior to have the best, something I never had. Then if you never had it and you made it, what makes you think Junior is not going to make it if he don't have it? Come on now, let's reason together, parents. Get involved with that FAFSA. Know what's going on. Find out if your child is a recipient of a scholarship in a state where they have shortages. Find the shortages area and talk to them about enrolling in those programs that have the TEACH program that's going to give them $5,000 up front in grant money. Or find those areas of math and science that are short, and if those children are gearing towards science, ask them to enroll in those areas because there's more funding there. Now, moms and dad, don't let them feed you the hype that they're going to help your child get in school and the counselor going to do all this. No. Your junior year, put your hat on. You and junior going to school together because you're going to research those scholarships, grants that are out there, and all of the 21st century money that's available so junior can get all $5,800 plus the Pell Grant. Now, mom and dad, if y'all working and making too much money, junior may not qualify for some of that free money. Some of you may have to understand your income may be too high. Now, here junior is, can't get any grant money, and all you can take out is loan. Don't be no fool. Don't go in there taking out all the massive loans you can find. Find another degree that junior can get where he can get money packaged with that degree. Because afterwards, somebody has to pay the loan. Somebody is going to have to sign for the loan. And mom and dad, if you're signing for the Parent Plus loan, guess what? That Parent Plus loan is in your name. You have to pay that back. And sometimes before 6 months. Now, what I'm getting you to understand is when I talked about the word equivalency, the education that African Americans get, we want to be equivalent to the Caucasian. No, we don't. Get that out of your head. We don't. We want to use our own common sense to get what is applicable for our community and our family. Quit trying to beat the Caucasians at everything and be the top dog in everything that they're top dog in. Whose life are you measuring anyway? They don't measure their life by your life, maybe in the music industry, but not in the academia industry. So we got to get real. And we got to stop getting these jobs thinking, oh, now I have an opportunity to get my son in the NIPSCO program, and I'm just going to get my son every summer, even though he don't have the aptitude and he's messing up on the program. Mothers, if you know other young men and women in the neighborhood that have the aptitude for that job, invite their mothers and fathers too. Don't let your son disgrace you out there trying to function in the math arena, knowing that his aptitude for math is low. Put him in an area with his right brain skills and let him work with mechanical things. Don't constantly every summer put him in a program that you know he's failing at. And go to your sons and daughters' report card day. Find out what they need help in. All that money you're wasting on those gym shoes and all that technology, pay for a tutor and put those children in a tutoring program so they can learn exactly what it is they need to learn. And don't be ashamed if they have low reading scores. Sit down, mom, and take your time to let that young boy or girl hear you read so they can develop their voice control and read fluently. If nothing else, know what your children can do. Assess your own children. When I went to school, I pretty much knew academically where my children were. So when they start feeding you one thing, and you knew from testing and working with your child at home, you could stop them in their tracks and say, hold up. That's not my child you're talking about. No. You don't understand. That's not my child you're talking about. Could we have the wrong child, perhaps? Social studies? A C? Uh-uh. John and me go over that outline that you sit home every week. And I test John to see what he knows. I think you have a mistake. Let's take your roll book out. We want to go over those grades. And I want you to tell me if he missed any assignments that he didn't turn in. Let's go over those grades. Then I take out my briefcase of all of the phrase that John has brought home, and I set social studies aside, and we go through it. And my average comes up to be a B with all the grades. And she tells me, but he didn't turn in some of these assignments, and I just don't have a grade for them. And I'll say, well, we have the grade here. You want to average that in now? Well, how did I miss that? And I didn't know you were keeping score. So are you a social studies teacher or something? I know John has the aptitude to do it, and I see how well he's done on the midtest, but I just didn't know that he didn't turn in the final. Here's his final right here. You got to be on your J-O-B, mama. And I don't care what you say. You cannot be doing a job at work any better than you're doing at home. When Johnny come in, you got to have it already figured out. When Johnny come home, all you want him to do is hand you his grades, homework, weekly reports, book reviews, everything they do. You are the law in the house when it comes to the grades. Don't nobody get past you unless they drop you the grade. I don't care if they're elementary all the way to college. Mama going to figure that thing out so when she go to conference, she know what she's talking about. And, baby, is she going to shine? Because if you didn't get that grade in before that semester's over, she going to send you back to school pleading to that teacher, asked if you could turn that assignment in late, even though you lost points on it. But you're going to get that assignment in. Mamas, that's what you got to do. You got to be the cop when it comes to excellence in grades. You got to tell them a C just won't do. If you can make a C, you can make a B. And don't play with me when you go to school. You aim for the best. And that's how you got to be with your children. So my son got to be an honor student. And then he became a high honor student. And then the teacher started calling me saying, he's so bright. It's a joy to have him in my classroom throughout school. Because every week we sat down at the table and went through his unit test. And two or three times a week we met at the library together. I don't care what I was doing. We met there. And his father, we played tag team. When I taught English and I taught social studies, he stepped in and taught math. So we did that thing like a tag team. So when that semester ended, we said, congratulations, son. You have made the honor roll. He said, Mama, I did it for you. I said, no, you take control and responsibility for that. So when we go in here to conference, we know exactly what she's going to say. Are there any surprises, son, that you need to tell us about? No, Mom, I am so glad to be on the honor roll. Now, if they switch that honor roll from the high honor roll to the regular honor roll, you ask them why. Because there's money and grant money to go with graduating with honors. Some of these counselors aren't doing what they're supposed to do. They don't look after those African-American children. They don't go back and say, here's a scholarship, son. Take this home to your mother and father and apply for this scholarship. Now, tell your mom and dad next week we have an open house. We're going to talk about all the scholarships. Okay, also tell your mom and dad that all of the universities and colleges are going to be here on campus and you can talk to them personal. No, they don't tell the African-American child that. Sometimes he don't even know what's going on. And when you call to get his transcript, they get it so confused. And you say, hold up. I got all his semester report cards here. So I know you should have all of the transcripts. Don't let nobody beat your child out of a grade. Teach your child how to advocate for himself if he feels that somebody has given him a grade inappropriately. Teach that child that grade point average means everything. When I came out of college, I knew that having a grade point average and graduating from a top 10 school meant I could work anywhere I wanted to. And that's what happened. A school teacher working in finance and taxation and working for a corporation that's doing the B1 bomber is unheard of. But because I graduated from one of the top 10 schools and had a GPA of 3.89, they wanted to talk with me. And salary was no issue. This is what you demand of your children, and they will give it to you when they see you working hard to get that master's degree. Now, is a master's degree important? No, it's not. But whatever you put your mind to, show your children that they are to master in. I can make your child into a master. This was my job. This is what I do best, making children into geniuses. I know because I had two children that were geniuses in school, reading at 4 years old. So a degree don't mean anything, but teach your children common sense. Teach them self-respect and to stand up in the classroom when things are not right and to challenge a teacher about her tutelage and how she's teaching. Moms and dad, be your child's first teacher. Then they will know what to expect of these teachers in the classroom, because some of them are out to lunch. And they don't want to teach anybody but the smart children. Because my son was a smart child, he got taught. But what about the children that weren't so smart? Those were the ones they ignored. It's not right. And you have to put your foot down if you got an ugly child and go in there and say, this ugly child going to be taught. He will not be ignored. And if you don't get any satisfaction there, go to the dean of the school. Then go to the superintendent. But advocate for your children. Don't let your children be beat down and disgraced and told that they'll never be able to learn or never amount to anything. You make that teacher take it back. Because that's your prize, and you will lay down your life for your prize. And if he is slow to learn, then she's responsible for finding a way to teach him at another level. Now, when you know what your children will do, be ready to stand the ground for them. I don't care if somebody incarcerates them. If your child tells you he didn't do it, and he said, Mama, I need you to fight for me and help me, then you fight for him, just like I've done for my child and I'm currently doing for my child. You be his best advocate. And if he think he don't need a mama no more, and he grown, Mama, but I'm grown. I don't want you coming to school. Mama, Mama, don't come up here. Mama, oh, no, Mama, I can handle this. Tell him that as long as he's in your house and you paying the bills for him, you will show him how to advocate. Don't let him feed you that stuff that I don't need your help. Because when the teachers don't see the mama coming up there behind that child to vindicate him, they think nobody's home. And the child gets ignored. Even when your children get grown and they go to college, if something happens, you go over there like you're the Board of Health and let everybody on campus see you. Oh, did you see Miss Girl? She's on campus. Oh, yeah, something's about to go down, girl. She over there at the houses. Something going on. That's right. Something is going on. And you let them know when it comes to your child. You don't just come when they're in trouble. You come when they're not in trouble. And you come and show your face often. Now, mothers, some of these problems are yours. I'm just going to tell you. I don't care how many hours you got to work at work. And if y'all got two incomes coming in, you and your husband need to talk it over about you going home to do your job. That's right, going home to do your job. I've had to walk off jobs. I've had to quit jobs to go home and do my job. Ain't nobody's job at home to be a mama but me. And I can't expect my husband to do my job, and you can't expect your husband to do your job. You are responsible for raising those children. And if you can't be anything in this world, then be a good mother. It is your reasonable service. And everybody know me, know that I'm mama first. I'll take off any hat of professionalism and let them know I'm a mama for not only my children, but other children. If I feel you have cheated my child or mistreated him or done something to him, I'm going after you. And woe unto you. Because I'm a natural-born advocate. I'll turn over every stone to get to you if you've done damage or harm to my child. And mothers, that's how you got to be. I don't care if your child's incarcerated. Keep advocating for him. You might find out that the law mistreated him or did something wrong to him. You might find out that they incarcerated him falsely. Don't let nobody tell you to let Junior fend for himself. Let him go through that. You don't let him go through nothing. You stand by his side and you help vindicate him. Now, these schools are grounds to prepare you and your children for institution. The bell's ringing. They're waving the electrical wands on them all day long. This is a preparation for prison. Now, are we going to let our children go from the institution called college to prison? What's the purpose of education? Is it to transition you into a prison mold? No, it's not. And when you see it happening, you must intercept it. That's a trick of the devil. We don't need education that bad. We're going to give our children over to the penal institution. Take your children out of those institutions who have destroyed and broken them. Take your children aside and explain to them that you see a change in them and it's not broadening their intellect and building them into noble men and women. These schools are to be accountable, and they ought to be bringing excellence in a professional level with the income and requirement for the classes. They're giving you inferior professors. Your child is at a four-year school getting a baccalaureate instructor, possibly a master's, but not a PhD. I say it's wrong, and I think parents need to stand up and inquire about the aptitude of these so-called professors, and are they a PhD candidate? One of you out there right now know that your child is struggling with grades in an institution called college, but he's afraid to approach his professor because he feels that he's approaching a noble PhD. I got news for you. Excuse me. Sometimes those professors are just a master's degree, and they're not at the elegant stage of PhD. You are not to fear approaching them about a grade because you are paying for that training, and it's the professor's job to make sure he transitioned information over to you that you can comprehend. And if not, he is to bring in a tutelage or a tutor to work with you to help you. Yes, special ed children can enter into college. And they can enter into college with their Social Security and adaptations from the college to aid and assist them. This is the law. Now, let's get into the law a little bit. Once again, we're talking about Project 2019. We're talking about only black Americans can save black America. Don't look to your Caucasian to save you in the high school. And look to them to enroll you into these universities and say that they're going to get my son a good education. It's your responsibility, African-American parents. It is not the guidance counselor at the college or at the high school to transition your son. You and your husband must do so. And if you have to pay private programs to train you and show you how to ascertain scholarships and grants, then you must spend that money. Stop putting your children in college, giving them everything they want. The new college breed of students, they have everything, and boy, do they shine. They got shiny rims. They got pumped up rides. So here you are paying for your son to have this pumped up ride. And at the same time, you carrying this insurance on him. Maybe Johnny or Sue may need to leave that car home the first semester until they prove themselves. There's so many young people that don't even have to prove themselves with grades. And I'm going to give you a case in point. Because here, my son told me the grades are in the mail. And I said, what do you mean in the mail? Your responsibility is to bring the grades home so I can see them, just like you've always done. Oh, but administration won't allow us to do that. And you can't come over there asking about my grades because, see, we have rights now. And you can't even come to my dorm and ask where I'm at because, you know, I got my cell phone and there's no way to check my room. But yet you're paying the bill, Mom. It is so much going on in college now. It's dangerous for your child to be in college because you could travel miles and miles to come and see your child and find out you can't even access him on campus. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're paying the bill for your child, you're going to have to be a little aggressive and insist that you locate your child on campus if you travel a distance to get there and you find out he or she's not where they're supposed to be and you can't access them by cell phone. One of the things that college and education is supposed to do for us, it's supposed to acquaint us with good, noble men and women. It's supposed to acquaint us with the elegant, sharp men and women from history and society to make us feel like we've had an encounter with those outstanding figures so that we become affluential, intellectuals, academian, and for me, I call them ghetto intellects. Nevertheless, they must never forget where they came from and be just as sharp in street knowledge as they are in academic knowledge so that they can mellow that thing out with common sense. So when they're in college, all their senses are working, even their radar around them. A car's following me. Must be a policeman going to pull me over. Has anybody drinking in this car? It has to be on. This is what spirit does, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is hidden from you when the spirit is with you. All things are brought to memory. But why are our children so dumbfounded of spirit? They can't choose better friends. They can't see when children are doing them in or undermining them or when somebody is searching them out. We've got to tell our children, I don't care how much academic you get, but take a course or two in how to use common sense. And when you come home, impress me with all of the Greek philosophers, but more so impress me with your reasoning and your understanding. Because when you get knowledge, you must get reason and understanding. And in all you're getting, get wisdom. So where do they learn this wisdom at? We used to learn it in Sunday school. We used to get a fable or allegorical story, and at the end there would be a fable to give you a story so you could gain a strength from. Our children are so weak now that we've replaced everything with electrical appliances, and they're being hot-wired by this electrical appliances. They have no ability to have frequency. Frequency is what we need to see in the eyes of our children, the high level frequency where they're turned on to everything and they're multitasking and they're speaking to you at the same time they're visualizing. And we are having children that are so narrow-minded now, they cannot, for the life of them, hear what the Spirit is telling them because we sent them off to school unprepared. Girl, I want you to get that teacher's degree because your mama wants you to be a teacher, girl. Ooh, when you get that teacher's degree, aren't you going to be fine? Woo, your grandma going to be so proud of you. Stop with all of this pride. Our African-American children got so much pride they can give somebody else some. Boy, they're so prideful they could tell mama, I don't need you. Excuse me. You have to give them what is necessary, ladies and gentlemen. And what I mean by that, giving them a self of respect or a sense of respect and a sense of self and accomplishment of what their forefathers and their ancestors have done. And speaking of ancestors, let's take some time aside to go over and pay homage to our ancestors because it's very important. Take some time and go over with me as we pour libation. plant you see. We are now going into the talking cure room. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the talking cure room, and because the spirit is so important in this room that we want our children to understand that they ought to know spirit, they ought to have an altar. Parents, before they go off to school, make sure each and every one of your children have their own private altar where they have their candles, and they also have their altar set up accordingly. And that they transfer that altar right over to school, because we know knowledge is power. And it's very important, because the prayers of a righteous and fervent man availeth much. Because they're going to need much prayer when they get in that institution called college. So transition them well, mothers and fathers. Explain to them that partying is not the utmost credential or degree to have, that we've been known to do a lot of partying as African Americans, but it's much more important to understand the power of prayer, because each time they take a test, they're going to have to go in the spirit, take deep breath, meditating, breathing, synchronizing their vital sign, asking that their higher self will reveal to them how to maintain and how to have long-term memory and short-term memory as they collect this data to recall later on during the test. They're going to have to go in the spirit and go in the underworld, so when they come out, that information will be retained and they can draw from it when they take their exams. Teach them this, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very powerful tool. I use it throughout school. I'm not a brainiac or genealogist. I'm not even an academia, but I learned to study and I learned the power of prayer and meditating, and it helped me to retain information. I taught my children skillful methods for studying, and one of them was to go into the subconscious while you're retaining information so you can draw from it, and it will be available to you when you take your exam. Very important. Now, I'm over here in my talking cure room. I am lighting a candle for my mother's spirit because she is so precious. And I say, Mother, may this light guide you through the boundaries and the annals of the lagoon and back home to me, and may you see your way clearly. I light the candle and I say, Ashe. I say, Father, I light this candle for you to have guidance and direction, so that you can find your family in full tack and you can align yourself with us with the mission. The candle has been lit. I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit so that his thirst will be quenched. He will be adequately influenced by the fluids. And water knows no enemy. Water has no enemy, so take the drink that will quench your thirst, Father, so that you will be strengthened. I pour the glass of water for my mother's spirit. And I say, Mother, drink and become endowed with the moisture, that you may be strengthened and have the ability to assist and aid your children in all aspects of their life. Unite yourself with the family. And I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, I like to offer up a prayer for the families right now. I like to offer up a prayer so that the families will know that at all times they are to pray without fainting or cease without fainting. Once again, family, we'd like to ask you to bow your heads with us in prayer as we pray a prayer for the new topic that we're bringing on, College Solutions. And in bringing that topic on, we will be bringing the experts in to talk about what is it that your children need to do to have opportunities to educate themselves, not only with academic college degree, but with wisdom and understanding. Father God, we just come before you, bowing our heads, asking you to guide and ignite the fires and flames in the hearts of our children, that they may have energy frequencies that are vibrating again, that are not laid dormant, and that they may finalize in their mind what the benefit of education is, and understand that academics is not only for themselves, but it is given to the community. Father, help us to teach our children that we are not to get shiny garments and utensils and electrical parts and make them our God, but we are to understand that our education that we acquire is for our family and community, and we have to bring it back to share it with the community. Help our young children to separate themselves from material things and bond to flesh and blood and not to hardware. Help our young brothers and sisters to understand that they are to find God now while he yet can be found. Help them to have a spirit of gratitude and gratefulness and not of pride. Help them to understand that getting education doesn't make them better than the next brother and sister, but they're obligated to teach and break bread and share knowledge with those brothers and sisters who have not been trained. Help them to see that they have a commitment and they have a purpose to excellence in education, that all that they do and put their hands to, that they will excel at it. Help them to understand that we're not trying to compare ourselves to the Caucasian, nor to exceed them, but we're trying to do what's best within our own community and what's needed for us to have knowledge. Help them to understand that we were the knowledge givers and that we were the building block, and we were also the pyramid structurers and the stair-step pyramid, and we brought mathematics into being, and we brought in sociology, theology. Help them to understand that they are the builders of the world, that they have nothing to prove to society, that history already laid those facts down for us through the Caucasians who have neatly put them in their proper places. Help them not to be in competition with anyone but themselves. Help them to understand that it is a gift and a privilege to learn to read, and understand that everyone who has knowledge is not always educated. It takes knowledge and wisdom coupled together to give you a certain amount of understanding of reasoning. Help them to get wisdom in all they're getting. Get wisdom and understanding. Help them to understand that it's okay to challenge the professor, because the student must excel and go beyond the professor. Father God, we thank you that Ola Dulamare has already taken care of the things that we are stumbling over, crying about, losing sleep over. Thank you that you know the hearts of man, Father. And Father, if we ask you, then we'll have. So we're asking you to put it on the hearts of our children today, that they will come back home and that they will dobale their mothers and father, and that they will honor them. They will not get this education and get pompous and proud. They will come back home and lay down their lives for their mothers and father who have given up everything they have just so that their children can have better than what they had. As we embark upon this new segment of College Solution, help us to understand that college is not the only thing and the final say-so. Help us to understand that knowledge can be had in a basement. Knowledge can be had in the backyard or in the attic. Knowledge can be had in the minds of men, even if you don't go into an institution, and not for us to think ourselves proud, because now we go around the corner to that college, so we're greater than those other boys and girls who didn't have that chance. Help us to understand that with this knowledge, we have an obligation, and that obligation is to come back to our communities and to our home and to implant that knowledge and build for ourselves, name for ourselves, decide for ourselves, and to make ourselves a sovereign nation and become an institution, so that when we come away from these colleges, we will spring up and be the institution, not going to an 8-to-5 job to work for someone, but to become the entrepreneurs all over the world. And we say, to God be the glory. And we thank you, Father, that we know you watch over every good prayer. These prayers will come to pass. And we say, to God be the glory. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that your young children must see you pray. They must hear you pray. And you must pray often enough that they understand the power of prayer. I like to say, power of prayer is knowledge. Power of prayer is knowledge. If you don't know the scriptures, then you don't have any power. Teach your children scripture as they learn academic excellence. Teach your children scripture so they will hold and keep them, and they will hide the word in their heart, and they will not sin against you in the end time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to commercial. We'll be right back at you in the air. Nikki, bring on that commercial.
Cadman presents the African American Audio Experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Don't you agree that Nikki does an excellent job? Why don't we give her applause? Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. We all are wishing you well, Nikki. Keep up the good work. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch gears here in our segment. We'd like to thank you so much for being a part of the Care to Read Room. And for those of you who would like to call in at 646-478-0270, we're featuring our book, Project 2019. If any of you are interested in purchasing it, go out to my website and contact me, and I'll get this book to you. We are selling this book for $10, and it's written by Chuck E. Sanford. Only Black Americans can save Black Americans. Now, why do we say that? I'm going to read you page 19, The Creation and History of Black America. In the autumn of 1967, President Lyndon Johnson appointed a commission of political business and civil rights leaders and investigate the inner city rioting that had occurred in the summer of that year. The commission, chaired by Illinois Governor Otter Turner, concluded in 1968 report that the riots were the results of white racism and enduring economic inequity. The Kerner Commission also issued its often quoted warning, and that warning is, our nation is moving toward two societies, one black, one white, separate and unequal. Ladies and gentlemen, that is so true. Everything is currently unequal. However, we know that this nation is basically collapsing. So, if it's collapsing and we see other nations and other nations flourishing, and we see Caucasians running to the border, getting their passports, what do you think we should be doing? Just think about it. I don't have to answer that question, but inquiring minds would like to know. Ladies and gentlemen, Africa is not as bad as you anticipate that it will be. Other foreign countries are not as bad as you think they are either. Sometimes they're better. Now, we're running the gamut of being permanent underclass people, meaning that we will be permanently broke. Not I, said Omi Inka and the tribe. Not I, said Thilla Piggy. I am going to be affluent and I'm going to have abundance because my Father owns the hill and all of the cities and homes. So I will take on the spirit of abundance, and I suggest you do the same. Because if you are working for your Father, and I come on this station every day to speak to my people in obedience to God, then what do you think God owes me? Everything my heart desires. And I will not subject myself to being poor, because I am an heir of a throne, and my Father is rich, and the earth and the world and they that dwell therein, all that he owns, I am an heir to it. When you see yourself as being an heir to a throne and being an emperor, you cannot sub anything. You can't get under anything, but you can get over the grain house. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put it in your heart and tell your children to get over the grain house. Not being pompous and proud, but have a mission and a reason for what you're going to do with that empire once you get it. And don't stockpile everything and have 4 and 5 cell phones and 2, 3 Rolexes and 5, 10 pairs of gym shoes. We've become obsessed with having stockpile of information and material. At one time in our lives, we had just enough, living just enough for the city, yeah. See, that's how we used to live. We didn't need to have 2 and 3 of anything. It made us more respectful and humble and grateful when we had to depend on just enough. Now we got too much, and the word is getting more and more and more. And we know what happens to a country that becomes wasteful. Waste not, want not. Now we are wanting. We have been found wanting. And we African American are a separate country from America. And we're unequal. And we're still asking for more. The things that we should be asking more for is wisdom, a sense of knowing, a sense of litigating for ourselves, a sense of freeing ourselves from the system, a sense of articulating our needs and our wants. But we have to be very careful about wanting too much. Let me go on. While this ominous warning by the Kerner Commission was accurate, unfortunately, it was issued 3.5 centuries after the fact. It was issued 3.5 centuries after the fact. Now, it's issued 3.5 centuries after the fact. The warning came too late to prevent the rape of the continent and the death of millions of innocent African men and women and children. The warning came too late to prevent the enslavement of millions of African Americans who almost 2.5 centuries. Warning came too late to prevent hundreds of years of race-related violence, including millions of slaves bearing thousands of slaves, revolts, and the American Civil War, and of course, the inner city riots of 1967. Let me take you back to that, ladies and gentlemen. Inner city riots that came about. Why do you think they came about?